Turn with me, please, in God's Word to the Old Testament this morning. We're turning to 1 Kings chapter 17, a well-known passage to many here this morning. And if you don't know it, well, hopefully you'll know it quite well by the time we're finished here this morning. Good to be back with you again, and good to come and renew fellowship. Thank you for the invitation to come and to preach today and for the warm welcome. And whenever you go back to church and you know people, you always have to be careful what you say, because you always say the wrong thing. Because normally you say it's good to see old faces, but that's where you get yourself into trouble. Familiar faces, I think, is the better term. Keeps me out of trouble. And as I say, good to renew fellowship with so many that we know this morning. Thank you for your prayers for us. As Colin has said, things are changing for myself, and I suppose I'm unemployed at the minute until the middle of May time, really. Our time has come to an end with Coaching for Christ. I've had an amazing 7 years, really, with Coaching for Christ. And I know that you as a church, you supported us financially. You supported us prayerfully. And say we thoroughly were blessed or thoroughly enjoyed those years with Coaching for Christ. But really, since last summer, God has been closing that door for me. Not for Coaching for Christ, may I add, because I've been going around the country. People have been saying to me, is that the end of Coaching for Christ? Well, Coaching for Christ was there long before I went to it, and it'll be there long, God willing, after I leave. And they continue to do an amazing work. Do pray for them. They continue to reach out to 1,000 kids a week. And they travel to other parts of the world and reaching kids with the gospel through sport. And say they're doing an amazing work. But say for me personally, the Lord has closed that door for us and been leading us back into pastoral work. And we look forward to taking up the charge in Tobermore. The Lord has been blessing there. He's given us a tremendous platform really to build on. And we look forward to that. So if you're coming through Tobermore, please call in, come and see us. I've been saying that to people, and people have been saying, well, where's Tobermore? Centre of the universe, so it is. Just near Mahara, near Markgrafelt, just on the northwestern side of Loch Ney, so it is. So, so say, if you're coming through, say, call in and see us. We'll be delighted to see you. But this morning, say, we're looking at 1 Kings chapter 17, and really, I want to entitle this message, it's a question, because really this morning what I want us to do is look at one word that's mentioned several times in this passage, but we are looking at really all 16 verses that we'll be reading this morning. But the question is this, and the title of the message is this: are we there yet? Are we there yet? The word that I want us to really look at is the word there. And say, reading from verse 1, 1 Kings chapter 17, it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in the vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of mead shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. The barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. We end there at verse 16. We know God will bless his word to our hearts this morning. Say, I'm sure we're all familiar with that simple question, are we there yet? Especially if you're a parent, and probably the place that we hear that question most is whenever you're in the car and you're on a journey and you're going somewhere, and you say, especially if you have children, especially younger children, you mightn't be long out of the driveway, you might still have a good bit of distance to go, and you'll hear that question, are we there yet? Are we nearly there yet? And certainly if you're going on a longer journey, maybe if you're going to another part of the country, or if you're overseas and you're traveling quite a distance, and say, you might hear it more than once. And children can be quite repetitive with it. And I was thinking to myself, but I'm probably giving away my age, because I was going to say you can only play I spy so many times, but probably with today's children you don't do that. They have all their gadgets, they have their iPads, their tablets or whatever, so they play their games, but still you hear that question, are we there yet? And the reason I mention that is because, I say, this morning we're really looking at this word there. Because, you see, the word there is important to God. It's very important to the Almighty. It's a place where God wants us to be. And what we see in Scripture is that if we seek the Lord daily, he will guide us in life. He will guide us where? He will guide us there, wherever that may be. Maybe this morning you're somebody and you're seeking guidance from the Lord, and maybe going through life wondering exactly, where is the Lord leading you in life? Well, I trust this morning that as we look at this, it'll be a help, it'll be an encouragement, it will direct us in life so that we all be where the Lord wants us to be, which I believe is there. You see, we see it here and already referred to it a number of times. Look at verse 4 in 1 Kings 17. It says, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And then whenever you go down to verse 7, it says, came to pass after a while the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Really, the background of the passage, we always need to remember that, set it in its context, and really for Israel as a nation, well, we know that they were living very rebellious lives. They turned their back on God. We'll be looking more at that this evening, really, as we consider the gospel. But Israel as a nation was under King Ahab, a man who was very ungodly, a man who was very much controlled by his wife Jezebel, and she had brought in all the worship of the foreign gods, the false gods, had brought the worship of these gods into Israel as a nation, and saying Israel as a nation was in a terrible state whenever we come to 1 Kings chapter 17. Elijah, really, we have to say, we know very little about his background. He appears just suddenly out of nowhere whenever you come to the start of this chapter. But what we see is that God has sent him to tell Ahab that there's going to be a drought on the land. And really that is very, very significant when you consider it. And certainly I think it comes as an encouragement to those of us who are the children of God. Whenever we see our nation, whenever we see our land going through difficulties, because sometimes we can fear. Sometimes we can panic about it all, and we think to ourselves, is God in control of it all? But yet what we must remember is that at times God allows our land, our nation, to go through certain difficulties. Why? Because his purpose in it all is that he always wants to draw the nation back to himself. It's righteousness that exalteth a nation, isn't it? And whenever a land forgets about God, turns its back on God, well, we shouldn't be surprised, really, as the people of God, that God often steps in and he will allow the nation to go through some difficulty. And that's what the background really here is to 1 Kings chapter 17. But what we must notice as well is that although it was Ahab and Jezebel and the people of the land who were living rebellious lives, the drought that was going to come on the land, it wouldn't just affect the people who were living rebellious lives. Because what we see is that it was going to affect God's people. It was going to affect Elijah. And say, that's something that stands out really as we go through these passages or these verses here this morning. Really, as we look at it, and I'll keep my eye on the clock as best I can. But three things I just want you to notice with me this morning. I want you to notice, first of all, as we look at this word there, what I want you to note, first of all, is that there was not just anywhere. It was there. That's the first thing I want you to notice with me this morning as we look at this, is that there was not just anywhere, but it was there. And really the emphasis is on the there at the end of it all. See, what we see is that God was specific as to where he wanted Elijah to go in at all. See, God was going to look after his child. That's the great thing. That's the great encouragement for us, the people of God, even when our nation, even when our land will go through difficulties, maybe financial difficulties and so forth. God will look after us, his people. And that's what he was going to do for Elijah here. And what we see is that he instructed Elijah to do what? To do several things. First of all, he was to go to Brook Cherith. See, that's what we see here from verse 2. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the Brook Cherith. That is before Jordan. And shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. See, God was specific. He told him exactly where he was to go, what he was to do. What was Elijah's response? Well, you'll see that in verse 5. It says, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the Brook Cherith, that is, before Jordan. So then, in response to that, well, what was God's response? Whenever his child obeyed, well, you see that in verse 6. It says, the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. You see, the first thing we see here is that God had a specific place. He had a specific there. And that was Brook Cherith, and it was for Elijah, it was to be there and nowhere else. There's many other places in the land he could have went to. He could have said, well, I have never been to Brook Cherith before. We don't know if he had been or not, but he could have said, well, I don't really know where it is, and maybe it'll be difficult for me there. He could have said, well, I'm going to be needing water, but I know of another a place where there's a far better river, and I'm going to go there instead. But no. God's word was specific. God's word was direct, and what we see is that Elijah was a man who obeyed God. And really, whenever you look at this situation, I marvel in it all. I marvel in Elijah's response and the very fact that he went there, because really, let's be honest about it, but how many of us have ever actually in the present day seen this happen? He was to go to Brook Cherith. What was going to happen there? The ravens were going to come and they were going to feed him twice a day. They were going to bring bread and meat in the morning, and they were going to bring him bread and meat in the evening time. Now, let's be honest, as we think about that in our own situation in the present day, many of us have ever seen that. Many of us have ever gone out to the back of the garden and said, right, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to wait until the birds bring me some bread. What I know about bread or birds is they come to eat the bread. But yet God had commanded the ravens that they actually were going to bring him bread and they were going to bring him flesh, and the birds themselves, they weren't going to eat it at all. And God was going to make sure that through all of this, that through all of this time, and it's reckoned that he was at Brook Cherith for a year, that God was going to look after his child. Amazing situation, say, just a reminder of the wonderful God that we have, that he's Jehovah Jireh. And he provides no matter where he takes us. He provided the water. But then what is it we notice in verse 7? And verse 7 really turns it all on its head. Because what is it we love in life? What we love in life as Christians is we love the promises of God. We love where God speaks into a situation and God guides us and God says, well, I'm going to do this for you. But we go there and yes, we enjoy the blessings of God, but then there comes a day where what happens? It seems that the blessings are taken away. That's what we see here in verse 7. Was it as it says in verse 7? It says, and it came to pass after a while, scholars believe it was a year or so, that the brook dried up. Because there'd been no rain in the land. As I say, the drought wasn't just going to affect the ungodly. The drought also affected God's people. It also affected God's child, specifically as we see here in verse 17. And I don't know about you, but I sort of, whenever I read verse 7, I think to myself, what devastating words. It's all right for us. We know what comes next because many of us have read it many times. We've considered it. We've looked at it many times. But for Elijah, no, he has never read it before. He could never go to 1 Kings 17 and say, well, wonder what's going to happen next. I need to read it here and see what God's going to do. No, he's in reality. He's in a situation that he's never been in before. And to say he's gone to Brook Cherith, he's got the promise of God. God's going to supply. He has seen God do all of that. But then there came a day where what? God took everything away. Took the water away. I don't know about you, but I think I'd have been saying, well, God, what's going on here? Have you forsaken me? What about your promise? Have you broke it? Is this the end for me, God? Because I say the promises we've been standing on, it just seems that it's all just been taken away from us. What is it we're considering here? Firstly, in this passage, it says, there was not just anywhere. It was there. Because what is it then we go on to read in verses 8 and 9? The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and what? And dwell there. See how precious there is? Whenever we consider the work and the will of God, say it was not just anywhere, it was there. And I wonder today, as we live our lives, is that where we are in our Christian lives? Are we there this morning? Are we there in the place that God wants us to be, where God wants us to live our lives, where God wants us to be so that he can teach us many lessons, so that he can use us in days to come and use us in the present day? You know what's most interesting, most encouraging about Elijah being told by God to go to Brook Cherith and then on to Zarephath? What I find most interesting and most encouraging about this is actually what God did before he even instructed Elijah to go. What God did before he instructed Elijah to go to Brook Cherith, and then what God did before he instructed Elijah to go to Zarephath. Notice here in verse 4. Go back to verse 4 again. It says, it shall be, God says to him, it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. But then what has God done? What has God already done before he has told Elijah to go to Brook Cherith? He says, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And then whenever you go down to verse 9, he says, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold what? I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Did you see what God did here? Do you see how God was speaking into a situation? God was directing them. God was telling them where he was to go. He told them, first of all, to go to Brook Cherith, and then secondly, he told them to go to Zarephath. But what is it God did before all of that? God took care of all of his needs before that, of how his needs would be supplied. I wondered, as I think about this, and I think that's what we need to do with Scripture and these passages, try and put ourselves in the feet of the people who are in it and understand what it was like for them. I wondered, did Elijah say to the Lord, well, Lord, you want me to go to Brook Cherith? I've never been there before. There's nothing there. It's not even a town. It's not even a village. It's not even a hamlet. Doesn't have a store or anything like that, or a small shop or anything like that. Lord, why? Why would you want me to go to Brook Cherith? But what is it the Lord said? Behold, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And then he wondered, did he say, well, Lord, why would you want me to go to Zarephath? We're right in the middle of the drought. People are dying there. But what is it God said? Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. See, how precious is this truth that God goes before us. God has it all worked out. Does he not? Whenever we're trying to work it out, even whenever it's to the most unlikely of places. Maybe today, as we consider God's word, maybe there's somebody here and you've been praying and you've been seeking God's will, and God has been speaking into your situation, and God is commanding you to go somewhere, and you're thinking to yourself, why there? What is there there for me? How am I going to survive? Do you see what God did with Elijah? He says, behold, I have commanded, not only once, but twice. And to say in God, what we see is the God who goes before us. He's the God of the there. He wants us there. And to say when he commands us to go there, how important, how essential. We go there because that's where he's going to bless. Say there was not just anywhere. It was there. But what I want you to notice secondly with me is that, hopefully you'll understand this, but there was not always there as God had another there. We've already been looking at this, and to say we've seen this because what happened, well, first there was Brook Cherith, but then what we see secondly is that the next there was in Zarephath. And the thing that I believe that we learn from this morning is that when God takes us to one place, it doesn't necessarily mean we're there forever and a day. Think about it with Elijah. Think about what Elijah went through. You see, if Elijah had overstayed his welcome at Brook Cherith, which maybe some of us would have done, we would have said, well, Lord, you've commanded me to come to Brook Cherith. You've said the raven's going to feed me here. I've seen them do that every day. I know the brook has dried up, but Lord, I'm going to stick this out. I'm going to dig my heels in here. I'm not going to go anywhere else. What would have happened? He would have died. There'd be no water. He would have died if he had stayed at the first there. And in the spiritual context, is that not what can happen if we don't obey the Lord and do as the Lord commands us? And whenever the Lord steps in and says, right, you've been here long enough, now it's time to go to the next place, it says then that the Lord will look after us. But if we don't go, we could suffer spiritually. Say we could suffer greatly. Maybe today, even as we look at this, and this is something we don't see in Elijah. The one thing we don't see in Elijah is Elijah resisting to go. Maybe today you're somebody and you're resisting to move. Maybe you thought God would always provide for you in the place that you're in. place that maybe you've been for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. You thought, well, this is me for life. Do you want to know something? This time last year, I thought that exactly myself with Coaching for Christ. I thought it would be there until I retire. But God worked in circumstances and has completely changed it all around. And the there is now somewhere else in Tobermore. Maybe today, say, you're somebody and you thought God would provide in one place, and he's saying, but no, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to, here's where I want you to go now. Maybe you're wondering, you're worrying. You may be saying, but God, if I go there, well, the provision isn't going to be as abundant. But God, is it not that he provides our needs, not our greeds? You see, what I find interesting is that God, through all of this, and this is what I think we need to remember in our lives, God was doing a work. God was doing a work in Israel. They had been disobedient, and God was disciplining them, chastising them, and God was seeking to do a work in their hearts. But what we see in this is that God was not only seeking to do a work in their hearts, he was doing a work in Elijah's heart as well. You see, what lay on ahead for Elijah? Elijah didn't know it, but we know it, but Mount Carmel, where he's going to go up and challenge the prophets of Baal to send down the fire and the altar. God knew that that was on ahead, but God had to prepare his servant for that. What I find most interesting, you may know this, but the two names that we have here are a story in themselves, or a message in themselves. The name Brook Cherith, what does it actually mean? Well, it actually means cut or cut away. That's what the name means. And I believe that whenever God took Elijah to Brook Cherith, he was cutting away a lot of things in Elijah's life that he didn't need. I think I would have struggled there, to be honest. Because whenever you think of Brook Cherith was away from somewhere else, but the reality is that possibly for a year or so, Elijah never saw anybody else. He had been lonely. And if there's anything that cuts away from us, it's loneliness. Being on our own. Sometimes we think, I'd just love to get away and get my head showered, get away from everybody else. That's maybe all right for a day or two, but you see, whenever it's day after day after day after day after day, and you're not going to see anybody else. You're not going to talk to anybody else. It's just you there on your own, and you're out in the wilderness, and it's just complete silence. And your only visitors each day are the ravens. I believe that's when God does a work within hearts that cuts away. It makes us totally dependent on him and saying, God, you're in control here. This is not about me, but this is about you. See, not only, say, was it Brook Cherith, which means cut away, and sometimes, say, that is the most painful thing in life, but then what we see is Zarephath actually means refinery. You see the process that God was taking him through. First of all, it was a cutting away, doing away with a lot of things in his life that maybe Elijah was depending on self and so forth. And there were things in his life, God was cutting all that away. But then whenever God saw that that work was done, he took him to where? To Zarephath. Why? To refine him there. I say refining is tough as well. But there he was in Zarephath, and God was again doing that work. He was there for what? The best part of probably 2 years. The drought lasted 3 years. If he was a year in Brook Cherith, well, he had 2 years to do in Zarephath. And there God was refining. Why? Because God knew what lay on ahead. God knew that he was going to be up in Mount Carmel, and there he was going to call upon God to send down a fire, and Zarephath being in Zarephath, being in Brookcherith, what would he have really learned there? He would have learned that he can trust God no matter what the circumstances. No matter what he's going through. And whenever he called upon that fire in front of the 800 prophets of Baal and all the other people aware that he had every confidence, absolute assurance that God would send the fire upon the altar. You see what God was doing in all of this? Do you see why God took him there and then there? See, what we see is that there was not just anywhere, it was there. It was not always there because God had another there. Maybe that's where God is asking you to go today. Don't resist him. Don't fight against him. But go there. And then what we see lastly is this, is that the new there would also bless others there. The new there would also bless others there. You see this from verse 10. Look at verse 10. He arose, went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as he was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did, according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Some very simple lessons. First of all, whenever we're down to our last, God asks us to give it to him. Give it to him. That's what the widow woman was. She was right down to her very last. She thought this is going to be their last meal. She and her son are going to die. And Elijah says, make me a meal. Did she resist? No. There's no sign of it in the passage whatsoever. Whenever I read it, and what we see is that God really blessed what she gave unto him. First lesson you learn there, and we see in this, but what we see secondly is that hospitality pays. Well, that leads on from it. Hospitality pays. It's the people of God were to be hospitable. Romans 12 and 13, what does it say? It's distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Do we do that? Or do we say, well, actually, this is mine, I'm holding on to it. I'm not going to give it to the church. I'm not going to give it to the missionaries. I'm not going to give it to the people in the church who are in need. Well, look at what they did. They created the problem themselves, so just let them suffer. She gave it. Do you see how it blessed? Blessed her, blessed her son. But to say, not only do we see that hospitality pays, but what we see in all of this, and this is so lovely, God cares for widows. I think that's lovely whenever you see that, because say, husband was dead, down to her last meal. Probably somebody, the society was saying, well, we may as well forget about her. But what we see is that God provided in the most amazing way. What is it? James 1 and verse 27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Are you a widow today? The going's tough. It's a struggle. Maybe you're newly bereaved. You see what God has promised in his word. You trust in him. And you keep putting him first in everything. Say, what we see here is that God commanded Elijah to do what? To go there. there, as I say, just one word, but yet it teaches us so much. Is that where we're at today? Are we there yet? Are we where God really wants us to be? Whenever I prepared this, I was thinking about it all, and here's what came into my mind. If God wanted me there, where am I? I'm here. H-E-R-E. But what is it takes us to get from here to there? Well, in English language, there's only one letter. Changes it from here to there. What's that letter? T. And what's that letter T normally represent in the Christian life? Trust. And what is it, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Then says this, in all thy ways acknowledge him. And what? He will direct thy paths. See, he'll take us from here to there. And it's there that God promises that he will bless us. He will look after us. He will care for us. He will go before us. He went before Elijah, commanded the ravens, commanded the widow. And what we see is that Elijah came right through those 3 years. God blessed him, helped him through it all. And Elijah was able to go on to greater things for God. As he was used on Mount Carmel and used to stand up to Ahab and Jezebel in the sin of the land. Where are we today? Are we there yet? It's to say, doing what God has commanded us to do. And being in the place that he wants us to be. We're going to finish this part of our service. 420.